Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 55? It's a book in the Old Testament, which records events that took place around 750 years or so before the birth of the Lord Jesus. At the same time as Isaiah was alive, a man called Micah was alive. And Micah was a prophet sent by God to speak to peasant farmers and to poor men and women to remind them of their obligations to God. Isaiah was probably a member of the royal family and certainly was in some kind of priestly or temple function. And he was also sent by God, but to speak to those in that context and remind them of their obligations to God. And both said the same thing. But right toward the end of Isaiah's prophecy, or his books that we now have, he invites people to life. He invites Israel to life. And in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, we read these words. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Amen. God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Last Sunday night, around this time, the KTLCC church family embarked on reading the entire Bible aloud. And we did it. We finished last night about 7:30 or 8:00. I forget what time it was by the time we actually finished. But we read every word of the Bible, every verse, every chapter, every line, every book. And we interspersed it with worship and prayer. And I want to thank you all that were involved in that remarkable endeavor. I believe it was a godly instruction. And that in the years that lie ahead, we will see the power of what we have done evidenced in transformed lives, in a renewed sense of vision and purpose, and in an awareness of God's purpose, plans, and power for his people through the KTLCC church family. There were so many people involved, almost 60 languages, and every continent, dozens and dozens of countries. It was remarkable and moving and inspiring and challenging. I keep a black notebook and it has got about 15 pages. It's about the same size as this green one. It's got about 15 pages of things that I wrote down as I was listening to the Bible that the Lord was challenging me about, speaking to me about, telling me, I need to go back and think about that. You need to reflect on this. You need to respond to this. There is no one here that when we hear God's word will not be challenged by it or inspired by it or comforted by it if we open our hearts to it. And on Wednesday night in our midweek gathering, instead of the normal service of prayer and encounter, we will have a special service of celebration for all that God has done through the Hear the Word of the Lord event. I warmly invite you and those of you online to come and be part of it. We will not be asking God for anything. We will simply be coming into his presence and saying, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the things that you have said. Thank you for the evidence of your presence. Thank you for your promises. And thank you that you have been with us. But tonight, for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about God's powerful voice and invite you to listen for it. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, then God may have brought you here to speak to you for the first time. He may want to say something to you in the building or online that will lead you into eternal life. The words that he speaks are life. They bring change and transformation. They might challenge us. They might point out where we need God's grace. But God is a God who speaks. He is not silent. And he is speaking today by the power of his word. I wonder what you would, whether or not you could recognize the first lines of some famous books. Let's see how we go, shall we? I love reading, so I may be alone in what I'm about to ask you, but you can try and help me. See if you can get these. In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. Anyone? Yes, the hint's in the name, the hobbit. What about this one? Last night, I dreamt I went to Mandalay again. Nobody? Rebecca. Let me not. You're all laughing at me now. Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds. Nobody know that one? Sonnet 116 by William Shakespeare. Do you want me to tell you a story about that one? I used it when I proposed to my wife. And I didn't know that she had always said to God, let the man who's going to marry me quote Sonnet 116. That's the truth. And I wrote it out and I memorized it and I stuck it with Pritt stick on the back of a blue bit of card and I got down on one knee and I recited it to her and I didn't get very long into it. She said, yes, yes, yes. Oh dear. Best decision I ever made and I thank God for her. In my younger and more vulnerable years, here's another one. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been churning over in my mind ever since. Yeah. Who said that? The Great Gatsby. You deserve an award. Why did you know that? You can tell me later. I'm very impressed by the fact that you know that. It was love at first sight. Catch 22. In the beginning, God. Genesis. In the beginning, God. The beginning, the first line of the best book or collection of books ever recorded. Words of power and life and purpose and energy that burst into existence, not saying in the beginning we'll explain where God came from, or in the beginning we'll set out a thesis about God, or in the beginning we'll give you a lesson, or in the beginning we'll give you a class, or in the beginning you can argue with us. It just says this: in the beginning, God. Before there was anything else, there was God. Before anything else existed, the Christian and Jewish faiths believe God existed. And he has been speaking ever since. He spoke existence itself into being. In the first few verses of the Bible, we hear this verse, this phrase repeated again and again and again. And God said, let there be light. God said, let there be this. God said, let there be that. And God has not been silent in that sense from that moment until now. He speaks and calls us to listen. He declares and calls us to obey. He invites and expects us to respond. And tonight, right in the middle of the Bible, we read God speaking. An invitation. And he uses a picture of rain and water and clouds and says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it spring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to be empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God did not bring you here tonight just to pass the time. He didn't ask me to prepare a message and speak to me this week just so that I could fill the air. He didn't say that what you do on a Sunday night is get up at 6 o'clock, preach for 35 or 45 minutes, invite a response, and then go home. When he speaks, he wants something to change. He calls us to listen to what he has to say. And he says in this passage that just like rain and snow fall from the sky onto the earth and water the seed, and the seed sprouts and grows and blossoms and then is turned into bread, and that bread feeds hungry people, and the water rises again, and so the cycle repeats. He says, that's what my word does. When I send it out, it is my word coming from my mouth to achieve my purpose, and I will have my way. What might God want to say to you or to me tonight? What might he want to speak into your soul, into your situation, into your circumstances, into your anxieties or your troubles or your dreams? Have you been saying to God, I need you to speak? Maybe he brought you here to give you an answer. Have you been saying to the Lord, guide me? Maybe he brought you here to guide you. Maybe online or here, you've been saying, God, if you're there, show me. And somebody's invited you to come to KTLCC. Or you're joining us online and nobody knows that you're here, but he's got you here because he wants to say something to you. When God speaks, he speaks with a powerful voice. And he makes a promise, my word will never return to me void. And in Isaiah chapter 55, when you read the whole chapter, you discover that the God who made the heavens and the earth and holds everything together speaks like a Cockney barrel boy selling fruit at a market. Now, I am not going to try to imitate a Cockney accent, because if I do, you may well stone me. But in Isaiah 55, verse 1, here's how it begins. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. He has something to say. And eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. And we see an invitation across this passage to come and be satisfied by God, to be met by God, to be fed by God, to be sustained and strengthened and led by God. As I was preparing for this week, I felt as if the Lord was dropping
Isaiah 55, verse 5, into my heart for our church. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. I felt as if the Lord was saying, as much as it is amazing to see the nations of the earth be part of KTLCC in so many different ways, 126 or 127 nationalities, I felt this morning as if I was, as I was praying through this word again, that the Lord said to me, that's only the beginning of what I want to do. I will draw the nations to you. I will draw the nations to you, to myself, through your ministry, not my ministry, the ministry of God in this place. And then in verse 6, the language changes. And God, who is speaking, invites us to seek him while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. God is here, present, to speak to you and to speak to me. And when God speaks, it is important to try and listen to what he's got to say. First of all, let me reflect with you that when God uses words, he is a source. When you use words to describe things. Malcolm has an orange paisley shirt on. He has a blue ring on. Pastor Jacqueline's wearing a green and white tracksuit. We use words to describe things, to sell things, to advertise things, to explain things. But when God uses words, dead people get up. Sick people get well. Lost people find their way home. Things that did not exist come into existence when God speaks. So because you're used to words, if you're not careful, you forget the power of words. But God's powerful words change the world. In Genesis 1, as you've already heard me say, he keeps saying, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul, reflecting on the God who speaks, says he is the God who calls into being things that are not. God has the power here tonight to speak things into being over your life. He has the power to bind things in your life and to release things in your life if you will let him. God's word is powerful and creative and life-giving and directive. But God's word can also be prophetic. This time last Sunday night, as we began the Hear the Word of the Lord event, and I read Genesis 1, I came and I knelt on this ground. I wonder if those of you that were here remember how I began that event. I didn't begin it with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I got to that in a few moments. I quoted Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 29. And here is what it says. Hear, O land, O land, O land. Hear the word of the Lord. And I hit the stage and I said, hear, O land, O land, O land. Hear the word of the Lord. I wasn't just trying to be theatrical. I was demonstrating something prophetic. And in this meeting, from the minute I came into it tonight, it has felt like there is a fight to get your attention. It has felt like there's stuff going on over the top of us, and that somehow you are finding it difficult to connect to what God might want to say. Well, I say again right now what I said last Sunday night. Hear, O land, O land, O land, hear the word of the Lord. I am calling your soul to listen. I'm calling your spirit to listen. Not to get distracted. Not to allow yourself to think about everything else and wonder, shall I get a KFC on the way home? Or shall I get a McDonald's? Hear the word of the Lord. Let your soul rise to hear what God might have to say to you. Because he might bring a directive word to you. He might open a well that is not open. He might guide you to do something that you've been praying about. He might speak into a problem in your situation. But will you listen? God's word is a source for us. In Psalm 107, verse 20, the psalmist says this, "And your word went forth and healed them." As the people of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, your word went forth and healed them. Might God tonight release a word of healing into your spirit, a word of healing into your soul, a word of healing into your family. God's word also brings confrontation. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, God tells Jeremiah that his word is like a hammer and like a fire. It is a hammer that breaks open rocks and a fire that consumes dross. What rocks are you facing? What boulders are in the way of you progressing in the plans and purposes of God? What obstacles are obstinately refusing to move? The hammer of God's word can break through the rock of the obstacle in front of you. The fire of God's word can consume whatever it is that is in front of you, that you might live and that you might prosper and that you might move in the purposes and the plans of Almighty God. I believe that God's word here tonight is a source. A source. Never mind the fact that we've read it cover to cover. It's easy to read it cover to cover and let it go in one ear and out the other. For it to be impacting, you've got to receive it. You've got to listen to it and let it be planted in your soul. You see, the Bible says that we are not only called to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. In James chapter 1, from verses 22 to 25, James repeats this invitation and command again and again and again. He says, don't you think that you're special because you've heard it, you hear it, and you do it. Twice in his epistle, in James chapter 1, verse 22, and in James chapter 2, verse 12, he describes God's word as a word of liberty. In chapter 1, verse 18, he describes it as a word of truth. In chapter 2, verse 8, he describes it as the royal law. And in chapter 1, verse 22, he describes it as the implanted word. For those of you that have taken part in hear the word of the Lord, how much of it has been implanted in you? How much of it has taken root in you? Not just be heard and swept over our heads. How much of it has been implanted in our hearts, implanted in our souls? I want to ask you what you will do with the word that God gives you tonight. Will you allow it to be implanted in your soul? Will you allow it to take root and to grow down and flow out of you in a way that brings the transformation that God wants to bring to you? You see, this source also brings with it to us a responsibility. In the same letter, James, who says the implanted word is spoken to you and you are to be hearers of it and also doers, he reminds you and I that we are to bridle our own words. That we are to be careful how we speak. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death. You have the power to speak something over a person and it can really devastate them. Some of the words I've heard people speak, some of the words I've heard people declare over others in jest or in conversation, God tonight wants us to take our words seriously because his words are always serious. He never wastes one of them. He always means what he says. And he calls us to remember that our words are like little pillars on the end of a ship. They have the power to direct our lives, James reminds us. They have the power to take us in one direction or another, like the bridle in the mouth of a horse. And they also have the power to start a fire like a forest. As God ministers here this evening, and as he speaks something to you, will you have the courage and the faith to speak it over yourself too? To receive it and then to declare it? To guard it and protect it? Not only is God's word a source for us, God's word is a sword for us. The writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and that it is able to divide right to the very heart of your soul, spirit and marrow, bone and soul. God's word spoken into your circumstances can get right into the very center of the issue that you are facing. And the entrance of his word brings light. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 reminds us that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is given to us as a weapon in spiritual warfare. Too many Christians read that phrase and think that it is a sword with which to attack other Christians. That's not what the sword of the Spirit is for. The sword of the Spirit is so that we can defend the truth, so that we can confront sin and lies and deceit in our culture and in our lives. At the beginning of what I was saying to you this evening, I reminded you that words come at you at a rate of knots. Word after word after word after word after word. But the word of God, when it is spoken, drowns out all the others. What would he say to you? How do you need to take this sword of the Spirit, a phrase very familiar to this house, and use it to defend what God is doing in you? To defend yourself against the attacks of the enemy? Do you know the word of God? Have you got it into your soul? Have you allowed the truth of who God is to penetrate to the very center of your heart? I've been a Christian for nearly 40 years and I still memorize scripture every week. I still take time to learn a verse. Every day of my life, I look in a mirror and I speak the word of God over myself. Every day, I place my hand on my heart and I say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, to those who have been set free by the law of the Spirit of life. I declare over myself, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me by still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and he restores my soul. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. There are a whole series of them. I'm not going to recite them all to you, but I speak the word of God over my soul every single day because the enemy tries to speak lies over me every single day. Because the world tries to snatch the word of God away from me every single day. Because my old nature tries to draw me backwards every single day. So I have a responsibility and a privilege and an opportunity to prove the word of God to be true. And when I live in it, he liberates me. He sets me free. He strengthens me. He provides for me. He guides me. He holds me. What word of God do you need to speak over your heart? Maybe you haven't memorized it yet. But maybe there's a verse in the Bible and you know roughly where it is. Maybe it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. My God will finish what he has begun in me according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is the verse that you might need to speak over your soul tonight? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it, to open your Bibles in about 10 minutes and to begin to declare over yourself the Word of God. Maybe you've been caught in sin and habits are pulling you down and you think there's no way out. Let me remind you what the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will with the temptation provide a way of escape also, that you will be able to endure it. Maybe you feel trapped and you think there's no way out and that Satan is winning over your life. Let me remind you of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this reason, the Son of God was revealed, to destroy the works of the evil one. Sometimes we have to take this word and move out of passivity into an active declaration of it over our lives. Amen? We have to make a decision that says, I'm not just coming to listen to somebody else preaching. I'm coming to declare the Word of God over my own soul, over my own heart, over my own family. I've said it many times since coming to KTLCC. It's not my job to make you godly. That's your responsibility. It's not my job to bring up your children. It's not my job to read the Bible for you. I can help you read the Bible. It's not my job to read the Bible for you. I wonder how many of us come to church on a Sunday and it's the only time we read the Word of God. And we assume that God is not being faithful when He is saying, I have given you my Word. Why aren't you opening it? Why aren't you allowing it to speak into your heart and into your soul? And in your head, you've fallen into the trap of thinking that's the pastor's job. I come for my spoonful of medicine on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Tell me this. How would you do if you got to breathe once a week? If I said every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, okay, everybody, take a breath. And we all went, and I said, see you next week. You'd quickly be saying, we need to breathe about 18 times a minute. How many of us are trying to survive on a meal of one meal a week? Do you know one of the things that has really struck me about our event that we have done just now? How hungry people are for the Word of God and how much they don't realize it's that they need until they start to get it. And when you start to hear it, when you start to receive it, there are parts of your life that start to flourish again. I watched across the last 6 days and saw people's heads begin to lift, saw their eyes begin to glint again. I saw people that came in here last Sunday night, disheartened and discouraged, dancing their way out last night. And the difference was they heard the Word of the Lord. They heard the Word of the Lord, and God is still able to speak. He is a source. His Word is a sword and a source. But ultimately, and above and beyond everything else, His Word is His Son. You see, I think some of you may have misunderstood me. I love this book. I would die, actually, to defend it. But I don't worship it. I worship the one who gave it to us. And this book points to His Son. If any of you from a Muslim background, you will know that the Quran is worshipped as if it is a son. It cannot be touched unless gloves are placed on your hands. We don't believe that about this book. We don't believe that about this book for very good reason. If you're online or you're here and you have a Muslim background, the way you think of the Quran is the way we think of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one to whom this book points. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, we hear these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, And the Word was God. Without him, nothing was made. And through him, everything was made. And anything that has life comes from him. And all things that have life have their life from him. In him was the light of God. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not the light, but he came pointing toward the light. And in verses 14 and 15 through to verse 18 of John chapter 1, the writer, the gospel writer John, says this: grace and truth came through Moses, but the word of God has come to us through Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. In the NRSV, and the word became flesh and blood and dwelt amongst us. The word of God is a sun that brings life and hope and grace and mercy, and stands in front of you tonight and offers you hope and grace and forgiveness. I believe that God, by his Holy Spirit, wants to speak his word into your soul, but not in a way that leaves you bored or restless or stuck, in a way that brings you life and freedom and direction. And he wants to speak to you through Jesus Christ, who is standing right here in the midst of us this evening, ready to speak to you by the power of his Holy Spirit. Are you ready to hear him? Are you ready to listen to him? Are you ready to respond to him? You see, I asked you, as the musicians come back, perhaps we could get them. I asked you at the beginning of what I was saying to you, if you knew the first lines of books. And then I quoted you the first line of the whole Bible last night at about 7:15. We also read the last lines of the Bible. We know how this story ends. God wins. Sin and shame and darkness and fear are defeated. God wins. Isaiah 55, anyone who is thirsty, come to the waters and drink. Now listen to how the Bible ends. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. What has God got to say to you tonight?